The Drive is brought to you on demand by Assignar Construction Operations Software. Visit keepbuilding.com for a free demonstration and see how much your business can save.
Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents Football at 4. Here's The Drive with Tyler Columbus and D-Mac.
Football at 4. Matt Smith in for D-Mac today alongside Tyler Columbus. Tyler, ESPN.com has released a list of their biggest holes for every NFL team. And boy, I guess I wouldn't have guessed the one that they picked for the Broncos necessarily at all. This one doesn't seem like it would be a glaring siren or a beacon or a house on fire saying we need help. But I'm curious to get your take here, certainly. When you look at the Broncos, though, before we get into that, when you look at the Broncos and you're thinking about biggest holes on this team, where does your head go?
Well, the good news is I don't know that I would say the Broncos have any code red needs. There's no position on this football team that I say you can't win football games with the starter that will be in place. There's a couple spots that I say you got to get better. And unfortunately, there's a couple spots that you went into the offseason saying you needed to get better and you did not get better. Inside linebacker comes to mind, of course. We've had an issued inside linebacker for half a decade now. Right tackle comes to mind. We've had an issue at right tackle for maybe longer than half a decade now. So those are two spots that you went into the offseason knowing that you needed to get better at. But your inside linebacker starters right now, you could win games with them. Your right tackles that are on this roster right now, you've got Billy Turner, you've got Tom Compton, you've got Calvin Anderson. I would imagine Billy Turner is going to be the day one starter. But they're all in a similar kind of realm. They're all functionable. They're all going to get beat a handful of times per game. I played with Tom Compton. I know him very, very well. I would compare his game to mine. He's very, very reliable. He's a coach's favorite because he's never going to make mental mistakes, but he'll physically get beat, and that's going to happen. I don't think it's an issue that you can't win games because of it. And, you know, I think Billy Turner is very similar to Tom Compton. So those are the two spots that come to mind. One low-key spot that comes to mind for me for the Denver Broncos that I'm really actually kind of worried about is corner. Now, not necessarily because of the starters that are in place a little bit. I am a little bit worried about Darby as a full-time starter. I'm a little bit worried whether he's going to be holed up over the course of the season, but mainly because of the depth. They still need to sign a body or two at the corner spot. So those would be the three positions that pop up when I originally think of the needs on this Broncos team.
Well, thank you for that. And we'd also like to thank our listeners in Littleton. Shout out Littleton for making 104.3 The Fan a part of your day. Yeah, I think that's a very good assessment there, because when you headed into the offseason, there were some clear areas you needed to address moving forward. And I do think, to your point, corner's still a question mark on this team. Can Ronald Darby produce enough to be an effective starting corner on this team? And I think that, I think there's still some good, healthy questioning going on there.
Darby's always been a questionable starter. The Washington football team, they moved on from Darby because they didn't feel like he was a full-time starter. We gave Darby a reasonable deal, a good deal for him, not a huge deal in NFL terms, but he signed a three-year deal, I believe, if I remember correctly.
I think so, yeah.
It was a three-year deal that, more or less guaranteed himself a starting spot on this team. Fuller hurt us last year because you didn't hit on that, but it was only a one-year signing, so it didn't absolutely crush you. I am for sure worried about Darby in a full-time role. Over the course of the season, I think Darby will get exposed at least a handful of times.
Well, according to ESPN, they're not concerned about any of those positions that you just named,
which is
surprising. And the hole that they identified, quote-unquote, may be surprising to you as well. They identified the biggest hole on the Denver Broncos roster as backup quarterback.
Okay,
what?
I guess I can't argue that all too much on the surface. We don't have a good backup quarterback on this team.
We just got a starting quarterback.
Well, you've got a starting quarterback. And 99% of the teams in the NFL, if your starter goes down at QB, you've got problems. You're going to have problems the rest of the season. There's very few teams that are able to function with their backup quarterback in there. I guess if I'm going to have a big need on a football team, I'm okay with that because, honestly, my expectations, if Russell Wilson were to go down, no matter who the backup quarterback would be, your season's over. That more or less it's going to be over. Although, when you look at the guys that are on the roster, I do understand why they said that. I mean, Josh Johnson, I think he's played for 32 teams.
Yeah.
I mean, he's played on just about every team in the NFL. I played in the East-West Shrine game with Josh Johnson. He came out the same year that I did. He's bounced around. He's been out of the league a handful of different times. He's been out of the league for a handful of different years. He's played in just about every league that's popped up, USFL, XFL, whatever it is. He's been around the block. I like Josh Johnson. He's a good mobile veteran backup quarterback, but you know you're gonna have problems if you got to play six or more games with Josh Johnson as your starting QB.
Of course. But
I think that's good news. That's good news. I mean, if that's the biggest hole in this team, we're worried about the backup quarterback. Okay, that's cool, man. I mean, I guess that means we've got a pretty good starter, right?
Yeah.
And as long as our starter stays in the game, if we don't have a bigger hole than our backup quarterback, overall, that means you've got a pretty healthy football team.
Matt Smith in for DMAC today on The Drive with Tyler Palumbis here on Denver Sports Station 104.3 The Fan. When we come back, I'm curious to get your take because the Broncos, and you're just talking about the starting quarterback, he is the reason the Broncos will be shown in primetime so much this year. How will they fare? That is the question, and that's next on 104.3 The Fan.
Hey guys, Tyler Palumbis here to tell you about my new friends at Assignar. Colorado contractors get paid faster and save big time money with Assignar managing their construction operations. From instant crew and equipment scheduling to digital time tracking and forms, contractors using Assignar are averaging $30,000 per year in savings. Collect data from the field to make informed decisions from the office with Assignar platform and mobile app. Go to keepbuilding.com to request your free demonstration of Assignar and see how much your business can save.
It's The Drive with Tyler Palumbis and DMAC on Denver's Sports Station 104.3 The Fan.
I can just see him now, Tyler. The lights are off. You can see the vignette, the silhouette.
You and James Berlat in a dark room hanging out together.
How did you guess?
Yeah.
How'd you guess? It's Matt Smith in for DMAC today on The Drive with Tyler Palumbis. We're honoring Top Gun today because we are 1 week away from Maverick. By the way, Maverick just got a 5-minute standing ovation at the Cannes Film Festival. You know how hard it is to stand up and clap and cheer for 5 straight minutes?
Hey, well, yeah. I don't know anything about that festival.
It's an artsy film festival. It's for, right, like indie movies.
Right.
And they begged for Tom to come bring his masterpiece and unwrap it.
Mm.
And it has just been received with nothing but pure and unbridled enthusiasm.
Top Gun, man. I mean, that thing's, how many years has it been? When did that thing come
like
out?
Over 35.
35 years.
One of the longest, got to be one of the latest sequels ever made.
Got to be.
But you know, you actually
As a true sequel, not as a remake. Yeah.
Right. You had something before we brought Chris Kerber on that you wanted to circle
actually,
back to.
I don't even recall what that
was.
Well,
if you recall, we'll come back to it.
You know, I hit my head for a living, man. I can barely remember what I eat for lunch.
Boy, I tell you what. I'm right there with you. The Broncos are going to be in primetime this year significantly more than they have been, obviously, in the last, 6 years? They're maxed out, Tyler. They got 2 Sundays, 2 Mondays. And I'm curious, as the price of poker goes up and the expectations rise and you are on the national stage more inside the building, what does that do to your preparation? Does it change it at all?
No, I mean, of course, it's a little bit different. There's nothing like being under the lights, being the only show in the entire country. You know that all eyeballs are on you. Of course, that brings out a little bit of a different vibe. But no, I mean, nothing changes in terms of preparation or anything like that. I think that the quarterback has got a huge, he's a huge part of that, obviously. I mean, he's the reason why we've got 5 primetime games. It's not because we got Nathaniel Hackett.
Right.
That's not why you've got the games. It's because you got Russell Wilson. The Seattle game, that arguably would not have been a primetime game if you did that in week four and week five. I mean, if Seattle sucked by the time you got to week five and they were playing the Broncos, probably wouldn't have been a primetime game. So you got a little bit lucky getting that extra one in week one, but it is by far. I mean, come up with a more compelling storyline than Russell Wilson playing in his old stadium, his first ever game as a Denver Bronco back in his old stadium. There's not a more compelling storyline nationwide. There might be more competitive games. There might be better teams that are facing off against one another. But that storyline's absolutely insane.
How does Russ feel about that, you think? First time in another uni, and he's got to go back to Seattle.
You know,
good to get out of the way.
Probably not. I think if you're being honest, now, of course, he wouldn't be honest about it. But if you're being honest, I'm sure he would rather play them in week five and week six. He's going to want to look good. He's going to want to make sure that he's gelled with his new coach, that everything is a well-oiled machine. And when you play Seattle in week one, hey, anything can happen. First off, it's a tough place to play. It's a great environment. It's a great crowd. It's very loud. And it's week one. And Nathaniel Hackett, Russell Wilson, they probably have not clicked by then. Russell Wilson has got one of the best primetime records of any quarterback in the history of the NFL. He balls out when the lights are on. You know, Kirk Cousins, he's got the opposite, right? Kirk balls out every other game, but then it just doesn't click when the bright lights turn on. You got five of them this year. I do think it's a little bit interesting because that's what, from national stage, if you're sitting out in Indianapolis and you're not a Denver Broncos fan, well, you only see the games that you see. So you're probably likely only going to see the primetime games. And, you know, we could sit here and go through the primetime games, and it's, how are they going to do? How are they going to look? What's the story going to be about the Denver Broncos? Because if they don't capitalize this year, I'm not saying they won't have three or four primetime games next year, but they're not going to have five, right?
Right.
So the first primetime game they've got is against Seattle in Seattle. What do you got that one as?
That'll be a really interesting game. I think they're going to be very prepared for that game, and I think it's probably Geno Smith. Obviously, at this point, hard to tell what Seattle really wants to do, but I've got the Broncos going into Seattle and winning on week one. I just can't see this thing starting off with a loss in Seattle. So I've got the win in Seattle, although the Seahawks will be ready, and that crowd will be angry.
Yeah, I mean, I've got it as a win also, but I am concerned about that game specifically because it's week one, and there's going to be so much that's on the line. Look, that game doesn't mean anything in the big picture. When you're talking about the trade, in 6 years, we're not going to be thinking about what happened in Russell Wilson's first appearance as a Denver Bronco, but it's going to feel really relevant right now.
Yeah.
And it's going to feel like the Super Bowl for the Seattle Seahawks, certainly for that fan base. I mean, if they win that game, the Seahawks are going to feel like, hey, we won the trade, right?
Right.
I got that as a win also. But then the next real tough game that they've got is only 2 weeks later. It's against San Francisco. It's at home, Adam Power Field against the 49ers. I've got that one as a loss right now.
Interesting.
But I don't know who the quarterback is.
Is that with an asterisk there?
It is. Yeah. I mean, I've got two asterisks in our primetime games. The San Francisco one is the first one. If Jimmy Garoppolo is the quarterback, I don't think the Broncos are going to be, I don't think they're going to be ready to beat a team like the 49ers in week three. It's not because of Jimmy Garoppolo. I'm not saying Jimmy Garoppolo is an amazing quarterback, but hey, man, it's been proven he's a good quarterback. It's been proven that he knows how to win. That's all he does. And they are probably going to be a really tough team to play. Now, if Trey Lance is the quarterback, I think I'd mark that as a win for the Denver Broncos.
Right.
Because Trey Lance is going to be going through the same things that Russell Wilson is, except for twice as much, because he'll not a rookie, but it'll be his first time playing, really. And it'll be early in the season. So I got that as a loss as of now. What do you got that one as?
I think that's a win because it's at home. Personally, I think it will be Trey Lance. I don't think Jimmy's going to be ready. Obviously, no knowledge there. But I do believe that the tea leaves are showing Trey Lance on that one. And if it is Trey Lance coming into Mile High Sunday night in primetime, best of luck to you, kid. The next one, Tyler, Thursday night, 2 weeks later, at home once again,
yeah,
against Indianapolis and Matt Ryan.
Yeah. So that's a Thursday night game. And when I first did my schedule prediction, I just went through it. I didn't look at the dates. I didn't look at any of it. I marked that one as an L. That's a really tough stretch for the Broncos. Your first two games, very winnable. You've got Seattle. You've got Houston. You should be 2-0 to open up the season. But then you go San Francisco. You go the Raiders at Allegiant Stadium. And then you've got Indianapolis on a short week. I think Indy's going to be really, really good this year. I'm a Matt Ryan fan. I think Matt Ryan is going to be the quarterback that they need. They've got the most Pro Bowlers in the NFL. How they didn't make the playoffs last year, Lord knows. I mean, that's a really good football team. I initially had that as an L, but I'm going to officially switch it. I am.
Are you?
Because of the Thursday night. That's a huge deal. I think the Broncos got a lucky break there, getting Indianapolis on a short week at home. Indy traveling, they got to be on the road. If that was a normal Sunday night game, I'd probably give that to Indianapolis because they're a better team right now. Would they be a better team in week 9 and week 10? Probably not, but early in the season they are. I am going to switch that one to W, though. I'm going to give that one a win.
I'm with you there on the win. I think it's interesting because if you look at the schedule for Indianapolis, the following week they have Jacksonville at home, and the previous week they have Tennessee at home. And so when you're looking at those teams, look, it's a whole new ballgame for Matt Ryan there in Indianapolis as well. And that will be his biggest test on the road early in the season. So I've got the Broncos 3-0 to start our primetime games. There are four remaining. I want your picks on the other side. This is Denver Sports Station 104.3 The Fan.
It's The Drive with Tyler Palumbus and D-Mac on Denver Sports Station 104.3 The Fan.
In Top Gun.
Oh, I thought all
this
was
Ario Speedwagon.
Oh, okay, there you go.
He got the wrong can't fight this feeling.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It's okay.
See, it was supposed
it's
to be.
It's all right, KJ.
It was supposed to be.
It was. Yeah. It was, but maybe we'll save that for the end because
I just knew we were doing Top Gun themed.
It was a Top Gun theme, but this is Ario, and we'll take all of it. Take it all. Before the break, we were predicting Broncos' record in primetime because obviously with Russell Wilson here, the eyes of the NFL are now directly on Denver, as we have clearly seen based on the NFL schedule in which the Broncos are completely maxed out. You cannot be on primetime television in the NFL season any more than the Broncos are this season. We went through these games and there are, what, 7 primetime games this season for the Denver Broncos. We went through the first three. Number one is week 1 in Seattle. Tyler and I both believe that that is a Broncos win.
Yeah.
But you mentioned you felt a little concerned, right?
I'm nervous about it. Anything could happen in that game. It's the first week for Russell Wilson, Nathaniel Hackett. Lord knows what that's going to look like. Anything could happen, but there's no question the Broncos should be the better team.
You're going.
I am going, yeah. I bought tickets for the whole family, so I'm going out with my wife, my three kids.
That'll be a blast.
We already bought our tickets. We got it planned. That is a done deal. I hope the station is there. I mean, it's a Monday night game. I honestly think it'd be amazing to be broadcasting from out there.
Oh, all day? That would be awesome. Yeah. That would be awesome. Your son, though, is this going to be a tough one for him?
Oh, no, he's Seahawks, man. That's who he is.
Right.
I mean, he was born when I was playing out there. He's had a lot of cool experiences out there. But he gets to FaceTime with Marshawn. He's a Seahawks fan.
Does he? That's great.
If they're playing the Broncos. Now, Broncos, anybody except for the Seahawks, he's a Broncos guy. So he wears a Broncos hat and like a Seahawks sweatshirt almost every single day.
Oh, so now he's really because Russ is his favorite player, right?
But I actually told him, I was like, despite the fact that, yes, I want you to be a Broncos fan, of course, like, you know, don't be a bandwagon.
Right.
Right.
Right. So you got to honor your true feelings.
If you're a Seahawks guy, you know, don't jump ship just when things get tough. Right.
I like it. You broke his heart breaking the news to him.
I did.
Pulled him out of school early. Right. For that. Didn't you do that?
I didn't pull him out. I pulled him out for like 5 minutes just to tell him.
Did you? Is that what you ended up doing?
I went to school. I videotaped the whole thing. It's brutal. You could see his whole reaction to it. I absolutely broke his heart. I was that dad. I drove to school just to break my son's
That's
heart.
That's amazing. I thought you took him out of school that day. You just pulled him out of class to break the news.
For 5 minutes. Right.
That is even more savage than pulling him out of school for the rest of the day. Because at least then you get the rest of the day with your dad, right, to hang out, or a couple hours in the afternoon.
No, he had to live with that.
He had to go right back to class and think about it. Good luck focusing. Right, so week three is the second primetime game of the year, and the Broncos host the 49ers. I've got that as a win because I believe it'll be Trey Lance starting. Even with Jimmy G, I think it's more of a coin flip, but you have changed your mind here.
With San Francisco, I've still got that as a
loss.
Oh,
you still got that as an L. Oh, yeah, it's the next one. Excuse me.
The Indianapolis game, because it's a Thursday night game, I think that's a huge advantage for the Denver Broncos. So I'm going to switch that to that one to win. I had the Broncos at 10-7. I'm switching that Indy game. I now got them at 11-7 or 11-6. Excuse me.
Okay. All right. So then the next game is a Monday night football game, and now you're getting into the division on primetime.
Man, this is exciting. You know, this just hit me, I guess. I haven't really just sat down and looked at the actual dates of when the primetime games are showing up. We've got a primetime game 4 out of the first 6 weeks.
Oh, yeah. That's why I say the spotlight of the NFL world will be in Denver, Colorado once again.
That is wild. 4 out of the first 6 weeks, the NFL has chosen the Denver Broncos to be featured in primetime games. And then you've got a game against Kansas City in December that game is scheduled to be a 11 a.m. start here in Denver. No, that's in January. That's scheduled to be an 11 a.m. start.
New Year's Day, yeah.
That game, assuming the Denver Broncos are relevant, assuming the Kansas City Chiefs don't fall off the map, that game's going to get flexed. So you might get a sixth primetime game here.
How many did you guys play in the Super Bowl year?
Man, I don't know.
At least five. Had to be.
I would guess we're maxed out. I mean, it's Peyton Manning.
Yeah.
I would guess that we're maxed out that year.
Okay, so we've got the Broncos. You've got them 2-1 in the primetimes. I've got 3-0 in the primetimes through the first three of the season. Monday night, Chargers, thoughts at the Chargers.
Man, tough stretch. You go San Francisco. You followed that up with the road trip in Vegas. Then you followed that up with the short week against Indianapolis at home. Then you got to go on the road again against an AFC West team, against Los Angeles Chargers in prime time. I've got the Broncos splitting with the Los Angeles Chargers over the course of the season. Unfortunately, I've got that one as a loss. So, you know, in the early parts of the season, I think it's going to be give or take a game here, take a game there, give a game there. So I've got the Broncos losing that one, batting about 500 over the course of the primetime games.
Let me ask you about the division, because I think this is really interesting. We talked about at the end of the year last year, well, you had to sweep two and at least split with another opponent. This year, what do you think the record's going to have to be within the division? I mean, these are really good football teams here. Yeah. You're going to have to sweep at least one of these opponents to make the playoffs, don't you think?
Well, I've got the Broncos sweep the Raiders. Might be wrong on it. Maybe it's the Chargers you sweep. Certainly not going to be right on all the predictions here. I do think you need to sweep one of them if you're going to make the playoffs. At least if you want to win the AFC West, for sure. You might be able to make the playoffs with splitting everybody in the AFC West. I've got a weird theory this year. I mean, it's always about the AFC West. It's always about what do you do inside the AFC West. Those are always the most important games. I think for the most part, these teams, they're all going to split. The Raiders are going to find a way to beat a game against the Chargers. Chargers are going to find a way to beat a game against the Raiders. Chargers are going to find a way to beat a game against the Broncos. Broncos are going to find a way to win a game against the Chiefs, and so on and so forth. So what I'm saying is, I think the AFC West, like, you can kind of just write it down.
Just cannibalize each other.
You're going to have a bunch of teams that they just kind of go Splitsville down the road.
Right.
Now, Kansas City, if they find a way to sweep a couple teams, that might change the destiny of the AFC West. But this is a weird year in which what happens outside of the AFC West is arguably going to be more important than what happens inside of the AFC West. I don't see the Broncos sweeping both the Raiders and the Chargers. I certainly don't see them sweeping the Kansas City Chiefs. But I feel like everybody's going to do about the same thing in the AFC West. So it arguably could be about what do all these teams do against the NFC West and against their one or two other opponents that are going to be different.
I think there's a very fair argument to make that 3-week stretch between weeks 4, 5, and 6 at Vegas, home to Indy, at LA, two of the three on national television, right, on primetime, rather. in primetime compared to the back end of the year when you've got to go at the Rams, at the Chiefs, you end at home week 18 with the Chargers. That's probably the three, you know, your sets of three most important three-week stretches there.
Yeah.
I could even argue that the first one at Vegas, home to Indy, at L.A., that might be make or break for this Broncos season, and it happens before the bye in week nine.
It probably depends on what your definition of the season is, right?
I mean, if
you're looking for an AFC West championship, then you're right. It'll be make or break. I'm hoping to limp into the playoffs. And you know, limp in is maybe the wrong word, but I don't expect the Broncos to win the AFC West this year. I just want to be a playoff team, get a wild card berth. I think 10 wins probably gets that done. Maybe it requires 11 this year. So I think those games, that's the difference between a fantastic season and what is going to be more than likely just an okay season of limping into the playoffs.
So what's your overall record then?
Now that I switched that Indianapolis game, I got them at 11 wins. So 11-6. I would call that a hell of a first year.
Absolutely. That's in the playoffs.
I would call that extreme success. Year one, new coach, all of it against a really tough AFC West, against a really tough AFC. If you end up with 10 or 11 wins, some people would say that that's a buzzkill. I would say, hey, that's a very successful year in year one.
There's a good likelihood that one of these teams probably in the AFC West probably won't have as good of a year as we imagine that they will. But
somebody will probably fall off.
But sure. I think if you're looking at it, 11 wins is playoffs. And to me, that's a success in year one.
I think 11 wins is a guaranteed playoffs.
Right.
10 is borderline. 11, that's guaranteed you make it.
All right, coming up next, we got Troy Rank, our Denver 7 Broncos insider, joining us. We will preview Game 2, Avs and Blues, and Tim Connelly might be on his way out the door. What does that mean for the future of the Denver Nuggets and their championship hopes? That's next on The Drive on Denver Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
It's The Drive with Tyler Palumbus and D-Mac on Denver Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
This is when you walked into the club and you were feeling yourself. Maybe a couple extra trips to the bathroom. Top Gun is 1 week away, and I cannot wait.
Where is this in Top Gun? I'm not recognizing this one.
This is when they walk into the bar, and Mav puts his thumbs in his belt loops and says,
"Okay,
Goose, this is what I call a target-rich environment."
I like it. Okay, yeah. Now I'm feeling it.
Yeah.
What's the target market for this movie? That's actually interesting, right? Like, my kids couldn't care less, right?
When they see it, their minds will be blown. I think the target market is anybody. I think the target market is everybody. I think it's going to be one of the biggest movies of the year, bar none.
Oh, I'm sure it will.
Bar none.
Yeah.
I mean,
Is it just staying in the theaters? Is that the plan?
There is no streaming as well. You might have to get off your couch for this one.
Okay.
Or you might have to just wait, 4 or 5 months. It is only in the theaters, so much so that Tom has delayed it multiple times so the pandemic could somewhat subside, so this could be released strictly in theaters only, because for him, it's all about the art and the cinema, and it is best viewed. He made it for audiences to digest on the largest screen possible.
I mean, I'm not a movie guy. I don't go to the movie theater. I honestly haven't done it in years. I've been to one or two. We've had a couple screenings here as a station. But I might make my way out for this one.
It's time. It's time to get yourself back in the movie theater. We'll get you a big jumbo-sized popcorn, extra butter, and you can enjoy yourself a little Tom Cruise.
I'm not a popcorn guy. I just like the Twizzlers.
You're just a Twizzlers guy.
Yeah, not a popcorn guy. Mm-mm.
Okay.
Just a bunch of fluff.
Nothing to it. Doesn't do anything
nope,
for you.
Nope, just so give me a good old package of Twizzlers.
Not a Red Vines guy.
No, that's very controversial, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. I'm a Twizzlers guy, too, by the way.
I'm not a Red Vines guy.
Now I know you're sane, because Red Vines are disgusting. Red Vines are terrible.
Somehow they could stay fresh for 2.5 years in the same tub, though.
It's remarkable. Yeah. It truly is. I mean, that's what happens if there were ever an apocalyptic event. Get yourself some Red Vines and hunker down, because those things will last you, no doubt about it. A PGA Championship is going on right now, and the afternoon wave not faring as well as the morning wave is. Obviously, I haven't heard why from the announcers, but I'm guessing, just judging upon the graphic they showed on the screen, it looks like they're dealing with 15 to 20 mile an hour winds.
Well, and you can see the trees. They're blowing for sure.
So I'd imagine that that's why. It was really hot out there this morning. The ball was sitting and it was flying. Rory McIlroy pretending it's the back nine Sunday and he's out of contention, but it'll be a great story. He's off to a roaring start. 5 under 65.
What's the current humidity in Tulsa, Oklahoma right now? Is it about 280%?
It is, and the allergies apparently are just on point with all of this wind. Max Homa, who's a professional golfer, finished today's round at even. He's very active on social media, says on Twitter, he says, well, I'm losing to Rory by 5 and to allergies by 1,000. You know who's not losing to allergies is John Daly, who was ripping darts and crushing Diet Cokes like you would not believe on the golf course today. What was the total there for John Daly?
You know, I think he was +2 on the round, I believe. He was -1 on the first hole. So
right.
he came out the gates. He was on fire. He got that birdie. And John Daly, he could draw a crowd.
Right.
I mean, there's Tiger Woods, then there's the John Daly crowd. A little bit of a different crowd.
Yeah, it's a different,
crowd. He draws a crowd.
Yeah, he certainly does. I think the ratio of cigarettes to Diet Coke was 21 to 12.
Yes.
And so I'm curious to get the take of our next guest. And on the Johnson Auto Plaza hotline, we're going to bring in our Denver 7 Broncos insider, Troy Rank. Troy, how do you feel about that ratio, 21 to 12 cigarettes to Diet Coke?
Yeah, he lives an interesting life. Man.
Doesn't he?
He lives so hard early. He lived in Castle Rock for a time and then had some
issues
here. Moved a lot, yeah.
Was he at Castle Pines or where did he play?
Yeah.
Okay.
I believe, he was in Castle Pines. He got into some issues there. And I don't know. I think he lived in the South for a while now, but.
Oh, my gosh. Well, now I want a story, Troy. I mean, now I feel like I want to know the story. I'm not sure if you want to share it, but, I mean, you're telling me you got in some issues there. I kind of want to know the story.
I'm intrigued.
Yeah, I'd say just Google it.
Okay. I mean, now Googling.
I imagine John Daly ripping it at altitude was a sight to behold.
Yeah, he's a fun watch. His son plays at Arkansas. His son's got an NLI deal with Hooters.
Right.
Speaking of sons playing.
Family heritage.
Speaking of sons playing in college, are you still out there at Westmont, Troy?
No, I got back today. Lost yesterday, would have played a winner-take-all game today, but it wasn't necessary.
All right.
I got home this afternoon.
So where are they off to now?
Lewiston, Idaho for the World Series.
Nice.
Wow. That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Congratulations. I mean,
that's big time. That's awesome.
Yeah. It's cool. I mean, anytime you get a chance to play, it's cool, but it's the first time in school history. And as when I covered the Rockies, there's never a second first. The first team that goes to the World Series, I mean, even though they win, you're going to always remember them. And this school, they've been really good the last, I want to say, 5-6 years in baseball, but never been able to get over this hump. So for this team, their coach, Robert Ruiz, it's really a special accomplishment. And I just, I've been able to watch probably half the games in person. They're just a fun watch. And I would have never predicted. We mowed through the field. We outscored the field 27-3, two shutouts. It was a very impressive few days, but baseball's a humbling sport. You got the next round, but I can't wait to see him play for all the marbles in Lewiston, Idaho.
Very, very cool. Troy, we got game two tonight for the Colorado Avalanche versus the Blues. What do you see out there? What are your thoughts and predictions?
I saw the Blues really shook it up today. Like they're doing pairs with picking guys that have played together. They shook up their lines. Obviously, there was some unhappiness with how they played. I mean, would they give up 106 shots?
Unreal.
54 on goal. I mean,
it was a beatdown
number. Yeah, just an eye-opening number. I mean, the Avs dominated in every fashion other than the final score. I expect it to be a very close game again. I just think that the Avs are better. They're better. And they, whether you say it's luck or not, they hit 5 posts. If they play like they did the other night, they would score 5 goals in most nights, 5-6 goals. So I think the over-under is 6.5. I mean, I could easily see them winning 4-2, 5-2, that type of game. But listen, if the goalie for the Blues, Bennington, stays hot, that's what's so crazy about hockey. The only other sport I've covered like that is baseball, where if you get an ace pitcher, and the Giants did this for years when they were winning titles, an ace pitcher can neutralize the other team by himself, and then you only need 2 clutch hits on the game. And that's how the San Francisco Giants won for a few years. They'd basically win 2-1, have 1 or 2 big hits with runners in scoring position, and they would dominate off the mound. I mean, the goalie gets hot, and he was hot the other night. I mean, he got a little lucky a couple times, but he was hot. That's the one fear, but I like where the Avs are at. I like where their confidence is. I like where their attitude. I just like they, and they're going for their sixth straight win in the playoffs. That would tie a franchise record.
Troy, we're talking to our Denver 7 Broncos insider, Troy Rank. Troy, before we dive into Broncos here, I'm just curious quickly on the Rockies. How concerned are you about Chris Bryan? I know he's got a rehab stint coming and he's headed back, but are you at all concerned about this back? I mean, he's been out a while now.
Well, he did a quick rehab in Albuquerque. He's supposed to be active tomorrow, is my understanding. My concern with Chris, and he is a great dude, and I mean, he was a great player, but he hasn't been a great player for a couple of years. And now is he starting to age a little bit? And I'm just saying, when you pay a guy to play left field in Coors, you have to catch the center fielder. That's how big it is. It's not a place to go to get healthy. It's a place to leave as you get older. And you're seeing it with Charlie Blackmon. I mean, you age in dog years playing in the outfield there. That would be my bigger concern, Matt. And, you know, the longer view is, can he be a regular outfielder there if his back's starting to act up? I mean, then where would you play him? Crone's their best player, and Chris Bryant really hasn't been a regular third baseman in a number of years. So that would be my concern, is how does that back feel when he's having to play regularly in left and Coors, and will it continue to affect his power? Because that's frankly what you paid for, is power.
Sure.
Not for him to, you know, hit 15 home runs and 280. That's not what you paid for. You paid for 30. You paid for Crone's numbers, frankly.
Alberto Quabenham, Quinn Meinerz, and somebody else spoke. You'll tell us here in a second today for the Broncos. Quinn Meinerz, I'm interested to hear. What's your takeaway there? I feel like everybody's talking about Quinn like he's going to be a starter. He's not a starter just yet. Said he's playing multiple positions, but what's your takeaway? What's the spot that he is mainly competing for?
Well, for me, it's guard. I just don't see the center working out. Russell Wilson's first year trying to break in a guy who's never played center one snap in a football game. That doesn't make a lot of sense to me. So for me, he's got the inside track to right guard. Now, if Glasgow comes back and he's healthy and it looks like rejuvenated, I mean, then obviously Glasgow could win that job. I don't know where Graham is. You know, he had a just gruesome broken lower leg against Dallas right before the end of the half there. And I don't know that he's going to be the same. Is he your swing guy? As a veteran who could play center or either guard spot, that makes more sense to me, or center, frankly. So I give him the slight edge. Quinn Meinerz has lost weight. I've talked about that a couple weeks ago. He's down to around from 330 to around 317 for this scheme. And we'll see. He's a willing learner, Tyler. He plays to the whistle. There's so much to like about him. But last year, at times, he was a little raw. He's got to improve his pass protection. That's the next step for him, to become more consistent in pass pro.
If Lloyd Cushenberry is not the starting center, who is it?
It would be Glasgow for me.
Okay.
Glasgow. Because Glasgow played it, I think, almost every game in 18 for the Lions. Again, that's a while ago now. But he has a lot of experience at center. But I don't know where Glasgow is health-wise. To me, he restructured his contract to be a safety net, almost like, you know, you played swing tackle at points in your career. Yeah. Glasgow, is like a perfect swing guy inside, because on game day, if something happened, he could play center or either guard position.
Well, and you could make a fair argument that the best year of his career was playing center out there in Detroit, so that'll be fascinating.
So
yeah.
Troy, Tim Connelly may depart the Denver Nuggets here, and there are a lot of people raising alarms saying that, look, this might be the most important figure in the entire organization, if not online with Jokic. What are your thoughts on Connelly leaving, and does Kroenke need to break the bank to find a way to keep him around?
Yeah, I mean, I don't live that Nuggets thing every day, but from people I trust that do, it would be a devastating loss because he's their culture. Like, he's the heartbeat. He's the guy that everything kind of spins off of, his attitude, his optimism, his relationship with Jokic and Malone. Like, it's just, he makes a lot of pieces of the puzzle fit. So, I mean, I know I've said in the past, you can find new GMs, and I really do believe that. It's way easier to find a GM than a Hall of Fame players. But in the case of where they are right now, like, if this were 2 years from now and they've been to the finals, you'd be like, okay, I get it. Like, it couldn't get over the hump, and he wants a new challenge or ownership stake, whatever it is. But they're in a critical stage of getting healthy and in the West being still pretty wide open next year. Man, the timing of this would stink. So to answer your question, Matt, I would say yes. because of where they are as an organization, that next year could be a defining year for the Nuggets. I don't want to do it without him. I don't want to do it. So, and because of the timing, I would do everything I could to keep him.
All right, that is our Denver 7 Broncos insider, Troy Rank, on the Johnson Auto Plaza hotline. Troy, best of luck to you and your son, and have some fun in Idaho. Go Westmont.
I've never been. I've been to, I think, 45 states. I've never been to Idaho.
Well, it should be thrilling, Troy. Let's hope it comes
good
up
luck,
with a championship.
Good luck. Tell Brady we said good luck. We're all rooting for him, man.
Thank you. You're my good luck charm there, Tyler. Take care, my man. See you.
All right, have a good day, Troy. That is our Broncos 7 insider, Troy Break, on the Johnson Auto Plaza hotline. Are you always considered a good luck charm, Tyler?
Troy, it just rubs my belly, and I'm the good luck charm.
A little luck
needs,
of the Buddha,
right?
There.
Yeah.
I like it. I mean, that's pretty cool, man. Headed to the finals there, and his son's a star. So that's pretty outscored the competition 27-3. That's not easy to do.
No.
That's not easy to do. So that is definitely cool stuff. Well, Tyler, it's 5 o'clock.
5 o'clock somewhere.
Hey, guys. Tyler Palumbus here to tell you about my new friends at Assignar. Colorado contractors get paid faster and save big-time money with Assignar managing their construction operations. From instant crew and equipment scheduling to digital time tracking and forms, contractors using Assignar are averaging $30,000 per year in savings. Collect data from the field to make informed decisions from the office with Assignar platform and mobile app. Go to keepbuilding.com to request your free demonstration of Assignar and see how much your business can save.